Matthew chapter 26, and this morning we're looking at verses 6 to verse 13. And here's what the Word of God says. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant. They were mad, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not always have. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Amen. Let's just ask God's blessing on His Word this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word, and we thank you for a remarkable woman named Mary. We thank you, Father, for a remarkable Savior named Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that that Savior would be present with us by your Spirit this morning, and that He would open up our ears and our hearts, and that we would be ready to hear your voice this morning. And so, Father, we look to you in expectation. We seek your grace. I seek your grace this morning. And bless your word to our hearts. We now pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been thinking about visiting Mrs. Wilson for a while now. Mrs. Wilson was the woman who taught me piano from about age 8 to my mid-teens. And quite a remarkable woman, Mrs. Wilson is. But you know what? Mrs. Wilson actually taught me a whole lot more than just piano. Mrs. Wilson taught me a lot of things. She taught me about listening. Every piano lesson for the first 5 minutes, it was devoted to Leaf talk. I would go in and we would talk about the Leafs, the previous night's game, and she would just listen to me go on about the game. She taught me about generosity. I don't know when it was, but at some point she gave me the 1967 Stanley Cup Toronto Maple Leaf hockey team. It was a stick signed by the Leafs, the last team to win the Stanley Cup. She just gave it to me. She taught me about generosity. And she taught me to be prepared in life. If she discovered that I hadn't practiced, she would send me home. She told me not to try and pull the wool over people's eyes. If I tried to blunder my way through mistakes, she would always catch me. She always caught every one of my mistakes. I don't know if you've ever had a piano teacher like that. She taught me so many things. And I've been thinking lately about visiting her. And one thing's for sure, when I visit Mrs. Wilson, I'm not going empty-handed. I'm going to bring something. Just to say thank you. Something to show my appreciation for a woman who has done so much for me, who has helped me in so many ways. I mean, isn't that what you do for people who have touched your lives? Don't you feel like doing something beautiful for them? Something wonderful? Mary thought that, I think. Jesus had just done something beautiful for her. And it wasn't just raising her brother Lazarus, either. Christ had raised Mary's heart from death to life. She loved Jesus. And what she wanted to do right now at this point was just display that affection, to show Jesus just how much He meant to her. This morning we're at Simon's house. Simon the leper. He's not a leper, mind you. He's over that. He's been healed. I can't imagine people going to the leper's house unless he was healed, right? Jesus is there, and so are the disciples, and Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Simon's there too. that's 16 people by my account. And Martha's busy making the meal. She's busy with the meal. And now is the moment. Mary doesn't know if she's going to get another shot at this. She walks over to where Jesus is reclining at the table. And she's carrying in her hand an alabaster jar of very fragrant and very expensive oil. And she doesn't take the stopper off the flask. No, she breaks the neck. And that's a problem. Because now this stuff can't be saved, right? She has no intention of saving it. And what she does is remarkable. She takes that very expensive and very fragrant oil and she begins to pour it on top of Jesus' head. I mean, the oil just falls down on top of his head. It trickles down his face and through his beard, maybe on his lamb. And then she begins to pour it down the length of his body onto his feet. And when she has completely emptied the container, she does something absolutely scandalous. We're told that she unpinned her hair and allowed it to fall loosely. And then she took her hair and she began to wipe Jesus' feet and to spread the oil over his toes and around the sole of his feet. She is absolutely lost in unconstrained, unconscious worship and affection for Jesus Christ. She does a beautiful thing. She does a great thing. What do you think Christ thought of it? What did Christ think of the beautiful thing that she did for him? Would you like to know? Don't you want to know what Christ thinks of the beautiful things that you do for Him? Of those moments where you just give yourself to Him and you just want to lose yourself for Him and you just want to serve Him and you want to glorify Him and it doesn't matter who's around or who's looking. Don't you want to know what Christ thinks of those beautiful things? Here's what Christ thinks. Two things this morning. One is this. A beautiful thing done for Christ is not a waste. It's not a waste. The disciples thought it was a waste. I mean, when they saw this perfume going out over Jesus' body, they pulled up their calculators and they started computing, right? And it comes to about 300 denarii. 300 denarii, you know what that is? That is an average working man's salary for the entire year. And they're looking at this, and what's their conclusion? What a waste, right? It's Judas who's the biggest stinker here. Because we're told that when he saw the oil going out, and he was computing that, he's thinking to himself, uh-oh, there's 300 denarii that I'm out, because John says that that man used to carry the purse for the apostolate, for the disciples. And he regularly dipped into it for himself. And so when he saw that going out, he thought, 300 denarii down the tube for me. A waste. A waste. What a waste. Can you imagine how those words must have stung Mary's heart? They must have stung like a cold or steam burn. You ever get a steam burn? Imagine what they did for Christ's heart. 300 denarii, good enough for the poor, not good enough for Jesus. Can you imagine that? I would have bitten their heads off. I would have, really. I would have got so defensive. So that's what you think of me. But he doesn't, does he? He doesn't get defensive. He gets to Mary's defense. He rescues Mary. He says what? Why do you bother her? Why do you trouble the woman? Why do you burden her down? She does a good thing. The NIV is good here. She's done a beautiful thing for me. A beautiful thing. I understand the disciples. Do you? I live out of their heart almost every day. Where doing a beautiful thing for Jesus Christ seems like a waste. Where watching TV seems more worth it than witnessing for Jesus Christ. Where praying doesn't seem worth it. Playing does, but not praying. Where losing myself in a good book seems more worth it than losing myself in the presence of Jesus Christ. I know what these disciples are about. Do you understand these men? Where he just doesn't seem worth it. Where 300 stinking denarii seem worth more than him. Where anything in this life seems more worth it than him. And it seems like a waste. This past week, I go for a walk in the woods, and I'm going because I want to meditate, and I just want to worship him, and that's it. And as I'm walking, I have this terrible burden in my heart that it's not going to be everything I want it to be. Do you get that sense when you pray? You go to prayer, and you have the sense, I just feel that this is not everything that I want it to be, and you leave discouraged. And you think to yourself, is it worth it? Is time spent with Christ, time spent alone with Christ, pouring my heart out in affection, is it worth it? And I thought two thoughts at that moment. And one thought was this, and I'm trying to recall it. Be patient. As you grow and as you learn who Jesus is, it will appear more and more worth it. As you grow in your knowledge of who Jesus is, it will become more and more worth it. The other thought is this, even if I don't fully experience all that I want as I draw near to God, even if my worship falls short, He is still worth it. Isn't He? Even if, as I pray to Him, I'm not experiencing all that I want with Him. Even when my worship falls short, do you understand what I'm talking about? He is still worth it. And it's not a waste. And you remember that when you go to your prayer closet. And when you struggle. And when your experience of who God is not all that you want. Be patient. Be patient. He will reveal Himself to you more and more. And your love for Him will grow and it will blossom. And less it will seem like a waste. And more He will seem worth it. Like with Mary. I understand the disciples. Do you understand these men this morning? Who I struggle with is not the disciples. I don't look at them and say to myself, tut, tut. And I don't criticize them. I live out of their heart every day. Who I struggle with is Mary. And a woman who just doesn't care. And is willing to take 300 denarii and lay them down in a heartbeat. And just pour it out before her God. And she is so unconscious of who's around. All she wants to do is a beautiful thing for Jesus. And that's what I struggle with. But I know where Mary got this. You know where Mary got that heart? She got it from sitting at Jesus' feet. Whenever you see Mary in the Bible, she's always at Jesus' feet. She is. And she's just learning and taking Him in and learning about His love for her. Jesus said, she did this for my burial. My burial. Some say she didn't know what she was talking about. Jesus puts a good spin on it. I think she knew entirely what she was talking about, because she sat at His feet and learned. She was about the only one who knew what Jesus was doing. She was about the only one who knew that He had to die. That He had to die to pay for her sins. And that's where He was going. That's what He was doing. And she understood that. And the thought of her Savior dying for her to take care of her sins was so great that she runs to the room with that alabaster jar of perfume, and she breaks off the neck and she pours it all over His body, anointing Him, preparing Him for His burial. Because you know what? She didn't know if He was going to get one. I mean, what if He took His body down from the cross and just heaved it into a pit and burned it? Would this, her Savior, be given a decent burial? The thought of not completely traumatized her. And so she's in to pour out her affection now before it's too late. That's what I think. And she does a beautiful thing for her Lord. Where'd she get that? She got it at His feet. Mary's always at Jesus' feet, learning. You want a heart like Mary's? You get it at His feet. You get it by sitting there and learning and taking Him in and understanding how vast His love is for you. A love that would lay it all down on a cross. Which of us fully understands that love? Do you understand that love? A love that would lay it all down. Some days I go to the Lord and I just don't get the cross. The magnitude of His love for me to the cross doesn't register. Did you find that? And I've got to say to God, oh God, my heart is so cold. I can't even get moved by the cross. Do you feel that way? Friends, I think it begins here. We say, God, move my heart, change my heart. I welcome You to teach me and show me what You've done for me through Your Son, Jesus Christ. I actually thought about coming this morning and giving you a list of beautiful things you could do. And you know what? You might go out and do it for about a week or so, and then they would phase off, right? That's not what you need. You don't need me to come and give you a list of things to do for Christ spontaneously. What you need is a preacher to say to you that your heart and my heart have to become interactive with Christ, and we get that at His feet. We get that by saying, God, change my heart. And let me see You. That was Paul's prayer, wasn't it, for the Ephesian church? Lord, open the eyes of their understanding so that they might get it. You know how he writes his books? The first part, doctrine. The second part, practice. The first part, he sets before them who? Christ. And the second part, it's all practical. There's logic to that, isn't there? Understanding, seeing who Jesus Christ is, and then living out of that knowledge. It doesn't go the other way around. It can't. You can't go out of here this morning and live the rest of your life doing nothing but beautiful things for Christ unless you're at His feet and seeing how beautiful He is, right? But you can begin, can't you? You can begin. And if you will begin, it will not be a waste. Because nothing you do for Christ is a waste. Because He's worth it. Right? Because He's worth it. You wonder what else I think Jesus Christ thought? You know what I think He thinks about the beautiful things you do for Him? They won't be forgotten either. They will not be forgotten. Jesus says this, "Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world. What this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. You know, most of us, we're going to live our lives, we're going to die, and no one will know us. Books won't be written about us. We come quietly, we leave quietly, and we live quietly in between. We aren't remembered. I'm sorry if I burst a bubble this morning. Sorry. That's the bottom line. Mary had no idea what awaited her. She was in the process of making history. She woke up that morning thinking this, I just want to anoint his body. That's all I want. I'm not looking past that. That's all I want. I'm thinking dinner, right? The dinner party. Anointing my Savior. But Christ looks beyond that, doesn't he? Yeah, he looks beyond that. She is on the verge of worldwide fame. Christ says that wherever the gospel is preached, that what she did, the beautiful thing she did for him, will be remembered. It will go down as a memorial. Think of that. And it has, hasn't it? How many sermons have been preached on this passage? How many Bible studies has Mary been the focus of? How often have the saints engaged in this passage and heard about this extraordinary woman named Mary? How many? Here we are, 2005, and I'm talking to you about an extraordinary woman named Mary. The Lord saw that. He looked way into the future. He said her name will be memorialized, and it has been. She couldn't see it, could she? Could she? But maybe she got a glimpse. Maybe living out in the first century, can you imagine this? Think of this. She goes to church, and the preacher stands up and says, this morning we're going to be looking at a woman who happens to be here. Can you imagine that? Hearing a sermon preached about you. And that night you go home and your kids say, Mom, wasn't that a great sermon? And that was about you, right? Yeah. She had one intent. Anoint his body. And forget about it. Christ doesn't forget about it. Not with her and not with you. In this life, you do things and you have done things. You've done beautiful things for Jesus Christ. You know what? You've forgotten them already. I mean, they're erased from your memory bank. They were done and they're gone. But you know what? Christ is going to remember those things. Every single one of them. When you arrive in heaven, it's going to be a day of great surprises. It will be. He's going to bring to your memory all the beautiful things that you did for him. He said, you know what? I have not forgotten about those things. I haven't. The struggling saint you came along and encouraged, those you prayed for, right? Those you helped. I don't forget those things. I remember those things. And what you did for the least of my brethren, you did for me. Those times where you just came to me and you had no other desire in your heart but just to burst your heart forth in affection for me and worship. And that's what was all on your heart. I remember that. I remember that. And I remember when you struggled in worship. And I remember when you struggled through your sin. And I remember that when you faced temptation and everything within you wanted to do what was wrong, but you asked me for the grace to do what was right and to overcome, I remember that thing. I remember it. And I know that you did it for me, and I will not forget that. But I will honor you because you honored me. Every year, our family goes to a memorial service. And less we see those veterans, they're dying at a phenomenal rate. And last year, our family went up to a veteran, and we just thanked him for the sacrifice that he did for our country. And the tears welled up decades later. You know, amazing. It's good not to be forgotten, isn't it? Christ will not forget the beautiful things you do for Him. You may not think they're that beautiful. Let Him decide that, would you? Let Him decide that. And I think that on that day, there are going to be a lot of surprises. A lot. He doesn't forget. You forget. He doesn't. Let that encourage you this morning. Let that encourage you. The things you do for Him, they're not a waste. And they won't be forgotten. Let that encourage you. Let that exhilarate you. Let that motivate and move you to go out and to do a beautiful thing for Him. Yeah. Amen. Father in heaven, with all of our heart, we want to live like Mary. And so, Lord, captivate these hearts. And so, Lord, change these hearts. Open our eyes that we might see how vast Your love is. And Father, that in spontaneous acts of worship and adoration and affection, we would do beautiful things for You. Amen.